Elhamdülillahi Rabbil alemin ve salatu ve selamu ala khatemin nebiyyin. Amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi mineşşeytanirracim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Şeyh Cüneyl el-Baghdadi rahmetullahi aleyh. At-Tar's Prayer. O Allah, whosoever reads or listens to the 34-page booklet named Şeyh Cüneyd el-Baghdadi, envelop them with the blessings of the saints. Forgive them without accountability and grant them closeness to your most beloved and final prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Reciting salat upon the prophet, one of the best ways to worship Allah. The jurist Abu al-Layth Samarqandi rahmatullahi alayhi states, if you wish to find out whether reciting salat upon the Prophet is superior to all other acts of worship, then consider this verse, i.e. the Quranic verse in Surah Al-Ahzab regarding the sending of salat upon the Prophet. This is because Allah ordered His servants to perform certain acts and carry out particular acts of worship. Yet, when it comes to the act of sending salat upon the Prophet, he himself was first to do so. He then commanded the angels and believers to do this. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Richness is not from money. A rich man once came to a great saint of Allah and presented 500 gold coins. Please accept this small gift, he requested. The saint asked, do you have any wealth besides this? Yes, I'm very well off, he replied. The saint then asked, do you desire to have more? The rich man said, yes. The saint declared, keep these gold coins, as you are more rightful to them than I. By the grace of Allah, they are not something I need, yet your heart desires them. May Allah have mercy upon him, and may we be forgiven without accountability for his sake. Ameen bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Where is true richness found? The final prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, laysa al-ghina'an kathratil aradi walakinnal ghina ghinan nafsi. I, richness is not in possessing great wealth. In fact, richness is the heart being rich. Commenting on the portion of this hadith mentioning richness not being in wealth, Imam Ibn Battal rahmatullahi alayhi states, this means the truly rich are not those who possess large amounts of worldly wealth. For there are many who have been made financially prosperous by Allah, but are miserly of heart. They are not content with what they have been apportioned and always want more, not caring for where their money comes from. Due to their greed and desire to collect as much as they can be equated to beggars. True richness is when one is content with the amount Allah chooses to grant. One does not harbor greed to collect more, and one does not complain of his state. If an individual does this, he is truly rich. This richness is to remain pleased with the will of Allah and accepting His decree whilst knowing what Allah has is better for the righteous. Shaykh Sadi rahmatullahi alayh says in his poetry, richness is not from wealth but from the heart. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. The place of the world in the eyes of the righteous. The saint and ascetic who turned down 500 gold coins was none other than Shaykh Junaid al-Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayh. Alongside his many qualities and distinctions, he is also the 11th Shaykh in the Qadiri Rizavi Attari spiritual order. The awliya'i saints have no love for the world. They do not run after money, as it has no significance to them. Instead, They spend their lives acting upon the commands of Allah and remembering Him and His beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Due to this, miracles manifested at their hands when they have the special favor of their Creator and Master, the temporal bounties and wealth of this world bear no value in comparison. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Introduction. Shaykh Junaid al-Baghdadi was a major scholar, renowned saint and religious authority of his time. His technonym was Abu al-Qasim. He was also well known by the title Sayyid al-Taifa, a leader of the saintly division. Al-Baghdadi is commonly attached to his name, as he was born in Baghdad in 216 AH. He was named Junaid after his grandfather by his father. His father was named Muhammad and was a glazier, i.e. a glassworker. The Shaykh is sometimes referred to as Al-Qawariri due to this, due to working in clothing and fabrics himself. Al-Khazazi became another name he is known by. He was both nephew and murid of the major saint, Imam Sari al-Saqati, rahmatullahi alayh. His name in the Shajara. The Amir of Ahlus Sunnah, Mawlana Ilyas Attar al-Qadiri, has issued a Shajara to all his murids and those spiritually affiliated with him. In this, he makes dua for Allah to accept his request for the sake of Shaykh Junaid al-Baghdadi by saying, O Allah, bless me with goodness for the sake of Maruf al-Karhi, grant me humility for the sake of Sari al-Saqati, and include me in your army for the sake of Junaid al-Baghdadi. Ameen bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. An Arabic shajara. Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi alayh penned a shajara in a format matching that of Salat upon the Prophet. He devotedly mentions the Shaykh in it in the following way. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik alayhi wa alayhim wa alal mawla al-shaykh Junaydin al-Baghdadi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. O Allah, send mercy and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, upon his family and companions, and upon our master Shaykh Junaid al-Baghdadi. His reputable status. Scholars of Islam refer to him as Shaykh al-Tasawwuf, the Imam of all Sufis or spiritual aspirants. This is because he kept Sufism far from things forbidden by Islamic law and organized it in complete alignment with Quran and Hadith. Abu al-Abbas Attar rahmatullahi alayhi said, he is our Imam and leader in the science of Tasawwuf. Abu Jafar Haddad rahmatullahi alayhi used to say, if intellect was a man, it would be in the form of Junaid al-Baghdadi. The Shaykh was described as the most pleasant and pure-hearted person of his time, and nobody was as disinterested in the world as him. Abu Bakr Al-Qattani rahmatullahi alayhi once asked him a question in Makkah. Upon his eloquent reply, the scholars and saints there issued him the title Taj al-Arifin, the Gnostic's crown. Ibn Athir rahmatullahi alayhi explained, in his time, Junaid al-Baghdadi was the world's leading imam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. His extensive acts of worship. The Shaykh would hang a veil in his shop and offer 400 units of voluntary salah behind it. It remained his routine for 30 years to stand after Isha salah, remember Allah till dawn, and offer Fajr salah with the same wudu. He says, I did not miss the opening takbir of congregational salah once in 20 years. And if thoughts of the world entered my heart during salah, I would repeat it. For the sake of Shaykh Junaid al-Baghdadi, may Allah make us those who offer their five daily salah with the opening takbir. He who joins in the opening takbir and offers salah in a group is afforded immense blessings, as described in hadith. For encouragement, select hadith on this subject are hereby enclosed. Four hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Number one, it is 27 times greater to offer salah in congregation than to offer it alone. Number two, Allah makes those who offer salah in congregation His beloveds. Number three, when a person offers salah in congregation and asks Allah to fulfill his need, Allah's generosity does not allow for the person to return before said need is fulfilled. Number four, he who made complete a full wudu set off for an obligatory salah and offered it with an imam, his sins will be forgiven. To help us become pious, Mawlana Ilyas Attar Al-Qadiri has given us the 72 Pious Deeds booklet. The second good deed mentioned in this pertains to offering five daily salah in congregation. To learn more about this beautiful topic, refer to his works, Laws of Salah. This can be downloaded free of cost from Dawat-e-Islami's website, www.dawateislami.net. In fact, with the intention of calling others to righteousness, share this PDF with others. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Knowing what is in the heart, a saintly marvel. Khair al-Nasaj rahmatullahi alayhi states, once at home, a thought occurred to me that Shaykh Junaid al-Baghdadi was at my door. I turned my attention away from this. This thought returned to me twice again. When I eventually opened my door, I saw the Shaykh standing outside. He asked, "Why did you not come outside when you first thought of me?" May Allah have mercy upon them, and may we be forgiven without accountability for their sake. Ameen bijahi khatamin nabiyyin. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Fasting the entire year. The saint, imam and scholar Junaid al-Baghdadi would keep voluntary fasts for the entire year. You have not done Hajj at all. A man once came to the Shaykh. The latter asked where he had come from. The man said he had just returned from Hajj. "You did Hajj?" the Shaykh inquired. "I have indeed," the man replied. The Shaykh asked another question. "When you stepped foot out of your home and left your country, did you also leave your sins behind?" The man said no in reply. To which the Shaykh exclaimed, "Then you have not done Hajj at all." Allah's righteous servants never leave good deeds. The Shaykh's successor, Abu Muhammad al-Jurayri rahmatullahi alayhi said, Junaid al-Baghdadi once mentioned marifa, cognizance of Allah in front of an individual, who said, "People of marifa reach a point where they no longer need to do good deeds that draw them close to Allah." He responded, "Some people speak of leaving deeds, and this is a grave matter in my view. In reality, those who recognize Allah carry out the deeds granted to them by Him as they enter His court with these. If I were to live for 1,000 years, I still would not reduce how many good deeds I perform, even by an atom." Subhanallah. Allah's righteous servants are indeed unique. May we also be granted such passion for worship. May we offer voluntary prayers alongside our obligatory ones. May we keep all the fasts of Ramadan, and may we even begin keeping voluntary fasts in the sacred months Zulhajj, Muharram, Rajab and Shaban. May we give money in charity and pay zakat when it is binding for us to do so. Let us ask Junaid al-Baghdadi to help in this endeavor via a line of poetry from Imam Ahmad Raza Khan. Ya Junaid, ay Badshah-e Jundi-e Irfan al-Madad. Help us, O Junaid, O leader of saints, cognizant of the divine. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. Advice of his spiritual guide. Imam Junaid al-Baghdadi explains, my spiritual guide Sari al-Saqati once said to me, try to ensure that the pots you use in your home have the same taxonomy as you, as in they are made from clay. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used clay pots. Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi alayhi writes, there is no proof the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used copper or brass utensils for eating or drinking. Bowls, cups in that time were made from clay or wood, and water skins were used for water. Eating and drinking from clay utensils is closest to humility. These are best overall, as using them entails neither excess nor pride. The final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was seen drinking water from a clay utensil, as his companion Khabbab radiyallahu anhu says, I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drinking water from a baked clay bowl. A hadith declares, may angels visit the homes of whoever keeps clay utensils in their homes. Narrations also mention there being no accountability for the food or drink consumed from them. O those who love Allah's Messenger whilst intending to earn reward and with any other good intentions, we should try to make use of clay utensils. It has been the long-standing routine of Mawlana Ilyas Attar Al-Qadiri to use clay dishes for eating and drinking. He says, I do not feel like eating in normal plates, but it should not be said that using clay utensils is sunnah, as no clear report is found in this regard. An extremely knowledgeable child, Sheikh Junaid al-Baghdadi once returned home from madrasa and saw his father crying. He asked what was wrong, and his father lamented, I took some zakat money to your uncle Sari al-Saqati, but he refused to accept. This makes me feel as though I have spent my life doing things the friends of Allah dislike. Junaid al-Baghdadi took the same money to his uncle, and the latter refused again. He then exclaimed, I take an oath by He who bestowed blessing upon you and gave justice to my father. Sari al-Saqti asked, what is the justice that has been given to your father, and what is the blessing that I have been granted? He replied, Allah blessed you with the spiritual openings of a dervish, and he was just to my father by causing him to be busy in the world. It is now up to you whether you accept or reject it, but my father must pay this zakat. Sari al-Saqati was elated by this and smiled. Before accepting this zakat, I have accepted you. Junaid al-Baghdadi then began to study and live with his uncle. The Shaykh, who was young at the time, then went to Makkah. There a conversation was taking place between scholars on the topic of thankfulness. They said, O child, what do you think thankfulness is? He said, thankfulness is to not disobey Allah with the very bounties He bestowed. They unanimously agreed with this. A religious authority at the age of 20, Shaykh Junaid al-Baghdadi benefited immensely from the company of his uncle and spiritual guide, Sari al-Saqati. The same applies for his time with Harith Muhasibi rahmatullahi alayh. He studied Islamic jurisprudence with Abu Thawr rahmatullahi alayh and began writing edicts, i.e. fatwa, in his presence at the age of 20. Public speaking and his spiritual mentor's insight. People once came and asked for him to begin delivering speeches. He replied, "As long as my spiritual mentor Sari al-Saqati is amongst us, I cannot do this." When Sari al-Saqati himself told him to do so, the Shaykh said with utmost respect, "It does not feel right that I preach and speak publicly whilst you are present." On the upcoming Thursday night, he beheld the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam in a dream, who declared, "Junaid, address the people. Allah shall grant salvation to many through your speeches." He awoke in the morning, offered Fajr Salah, and just as he finished, found a murid of Sari al-Saqati awaiting. The former had a message from the latter, which was, "You did not begin speaking publicly when both the people and I asked you to. Yet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam himself has now instructed you." Shaykh Junaid al-Baghdadi adds, "This is when I realized my spiritual mentor knows well what is in my heart. May Allah have mercy upon them, and may we be forgiven without accountability for their sake. Ameen bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad." A believer's perception. The saintly Shaykh Junaid al-Baghdadi began to deliver speeches in the central masjid from then. News of this spread quickly and drew the attention of many. During a gathering in the masjid, a young man stood and asked this hadith, "Ittaqu firasat al-mu'mini fa innahu yanzuru bi nurillah." Fear the believer's firasa, for he sees with the light of Allah. What does this mean? The Shaykh lowered his head for a few moments. He then looked at the young man and said, "You are Christian, and the time has come for you to become Muslim. Alhamdulillah." After seeing this miracle, the young man who was Christian became Muslim at once. Allah grants knowledge of the unseen to His saints. This highlights the high rank of somebody who works to spread Islam. Subhanallah, out of humility, Shaykh Junaid al-Baghdadi considered himself unworthy of public speaking. This was despite being an amazingly accomplished scholar in his own right by the grace of Allah. He was also given the indescribable honor of seeing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam in his dream, who personally told him to begin giving speeches. This also shows the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has knowledge of the unseen given to him by Allah. Alongside this, we learn that by the blessings of the Prophet, saints are also granted knowledge of the unseen. This explains how the saint Sari al-Saqati learned of his foremost murid's dream. In addition, it was firasa and knowledge of the unseen that allowed Junaid al-Baghdadi to recognize the non-Muslim and invite him to Islam. This miraculous invitation was readily accepted. Two miracles in one. Imam Yafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi said, "Some people consider this story to have one miracle, but I believe there to be two. Firstly, the Shaykh was aware of the young man's disbelief at the time. Secondly, he miraculously knew the young man would accept Islam right then and there. Defining firasa. This hadith mentions firasa. This refers to a spiritual faculty Allah places in the hearts of His saints, which allows the latter to learn of people's conditions. Valuable points. Abu al-Abbas Suraj rahmatullahi alayhi said, I once delivered a speech, the content of which left people overjoyed. I explained, these are the blessings that come from being around Abu al-Qasim Junaid al-Baghdadi. Dear Islamic brothers, just as this displays Junaid al-Baghdadi's knowledge, it also serves as a profound example for preachers and callers to Islam. Abu al-Abbas Suraj was praised for his speech. Instead of linking the speech's content to his own personal skills or knowledge, he said this was a blessing he attained from being around Sheikh Junaid al-Baghdadi. Unfortunately, our state is opposite to this. Along with signing our own praises, we also consider ourselves rightful to the reward of others by saying, I taught him how to do that in the first place, etc. Not acting upon his wish. Jafar bin Nasir rahmatullahi alayhi once said, Sayyid al-Taifa Junaid al-Baghdadi gave me a dirham and said, buy some figs for me with this. I went and did so. When iftar time arrived, he took a fig to his mouth, but immediately removed it and began to cry. Take this away, he said. When we asked what had happened, he said, I heard an unseen voice saying, are you not ashamed by returning to a desire you left for my sake? Sallu alal Habib. Sallallahu ala Muhammad. A unique personality. A pious person said, I have never seen anybody like a sheikh in Baghdad known as Junaid. He chose the most elegant of words to speak with. His eloquence and rhetoric were unmatched. Philosophers and theologians came to learn the meanings of difficult words and understand complex topics from him. I cannot be disrespectful. The Caliph of Baghdad once called somebody disrespectful. The latter replied, am I disrespectful? Even though I spent half the day with Imam Junaid al-Baghdadi. Somebody who spends even half a day in his company has no trace of disrespect in them. What can then be said of somebody who spent most of his time with him? Acquiring Islamic knowledge. The great Gnostic Imam Abdul Karim bin Hawazin al-Qushayri rahmatullahi alayhi states, someone asked Sheikh Junaid al-Baghdadi, where did you acquire this knowledge? Pointing to a staircase in his home, he replied, I acquired this knowledge from Allah by sitting under this for 30 years. I am proud of Junaid. A pious elder saw the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in a dream with Junaid al-Baghdadi also with him. He then saw a person come and present a fatwa to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, who then indicated it should be given to Junaid al-Baghdadi so that the latter could answer. The person exclaimed, O Messenger of Allah, you would like me to give this to him whilst your esteemed self is present? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam replied, the Prophets were proud of their nations and I am proud of Junaid. Treating the sickness of the carnal self. The saint, scholar and imam Junaid al-Baghdadi states, I could not sleep one night, so I sat up to recite my litanies. Yet I did not feel the same tranquility I usually felt when reciting them. I tried sleeping again, but again I could not. When I sat up again, I found myself not even wanting to do this. My house then began to shake, as though it would fall any second. I left my house and saw a man wrapped in a shawl, laying on the pathway amidst the intense cold. He lifted his head and said, "O Abu al-Qasim, come here for a moment." Without any promise or introduction, I asked. The man replied, "Yes, I prayed to Allah, the mover of hearts. It is He who directed your heart towards me and allowed us to meet." The man then asked, "O Shaykh, when does the sickness of the carnal self, i.e. nafs, become its cure?" "When you oppose its desires," I explained. The man then addressed his carnal self, "Listen, I gave you the same answer 7 times, yet you said you will only accept this reply when you hear it from Junaid al-Baghdadi." Saying this much, he left. I was unable to recognize him. Base desires are a cause of destruction. Remember, fulfilling every wish of the carnal self without having any concern for the permissible and impermissible is considered following one's desires. Dear Islamic brothers, following the desires of the carnal self only results in harm. It is mentioned in a hadith, 3 things lead to ruin: stinginess, which is acted upon, complying with base desires, and for a person to consider himself good. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Junaid al-Baghdadi's letters in the grave. Shaykh Junaid al-Baghdadi and Shaykh Abu Bakr al-Kisai rahmatullahi alayh exchanged letters and writings regarding thousands of religious matters, and the latter replied to all of them. At the time of his passing, Shaykh Abu Bakr requested for these letters to be placed inside the grave with him, saying, "I keep them as close friends, such that I wish that these matters written on the letters are not even touched by people." The importance of saintly stories. It was asked from Shaykh Junaid al-Baghdadi, "Do murids receive any benefit by listening to stories of saints?" He replied, "Certainly. Al-hikayatu jundum min junudillahi yuqawwi biha qulub al-muridin." Stories of the righteous are an army from the armies of Allah, by which He strengthens the hearts of murids. When asked for proof regarding this, he recited this verse: Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim wa kullan naqussu alayka min anba'ir rusuli ma nuthabbitu bihi fuadak. Translation from Kanzul Iman: "And we relate to you, O beloved, all the news of the messengers in order to strengthen your heart with it." 6 stories of Shaykh Junaid al-Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayh. Number 1. The Murshid knows the state of his murids. There was a murid of Shaykh Junaid al-Baghdadi who lived alone in Basra. A thought of a sin once occurred to him, and this caused his face to become pitch dark. He was extremely worried by this, but it faded away after 3 days. The very same day, he received a letter from Junaid al-Baghdadi which said, "Control your heart. I had to carry out the work of a washerman for 3 days to remove the darkness." Number 2. Consequences for testing one's murshid. Data Ganj Bakhsh Ali Hajaveri rahmatullahi alayhi writes, "A murid of Shaykh Junaid al-Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi once thought he had gained recognition of Allah and was no longer in need of a murshid. He turned his back on the Shaykh and left. He then returned one day to test whether the Shaykh was aware of his inner thoughts, and the latter had come to know of this via firasa. When he came and asked a question, the Shaykh asked him, What kind of answer do you desire? In words or meanings? In both ways, he responded. The Shaykh said, if you desire an answer in words, then listen. If you had tested yourself before testing me, you would have no need of testing me. In terms of meaning, the answer is, I have removed you from the station of sainthood. The person sighed. The comfort of certainty has left my heart. He then began repenting to Allah and seeking forgiveness from Him. Junaid al-Baghdadi said, you are unaware, but Allah allows His saints to know His secrets. The Shaykh then recited and blew towards him, and he returned to his previous state. Number 3. The doctor was cured. The eyes of Shaykh Junaid al-Baghdadi were once affected by an ailment and began to ache. A non-Muslim doctor advised, protect your eyes from water. Yet he performed wudu for salah, and the pain disappeared by dawn. Then a voice from the unseen said, O Junaid, you did not think about your eye when it came to worshipping me, so I ended your pain. When the doctor inquired in the morning, the Shaykh said, performing wudu took away my pain. Inspired by this saintly marvel and his steadfastness, the doctor became a Muslim at once. This was the deep trust in Allah possessed by the Shaykh, and this miracle came about because of this. The ruling in Islamic law for a common Muslim is that if he is advised by an expert Muslim doctor who is not an open sinner to not utilize water or not follow a certain ruling, then after consultation with a mufti, he may act upon that dispensation. A note for doctors. Some doctors advise people who have minor illnesses to leave fasting, offer salah while seated, or not to pray at all, etc. My message to such doctors is that imposing your personal opinions in religious affairs is a grave matter, even if you are certain that a sick person will face harm due to not acting upon your advice. You should present your opinion and contact Dawat-e-Islami's Darul Ifta Ahli Sunnah for guidance. Otherwise, there is a risk you may fall into sin. Darul Ifta Ahli Sunnah can be contacted on these numbers: 03-11-399-3312, 03-11-786-4100, 03-11-399-3313. Timings: 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Pakistani time, closed from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. and Sundays. Number 4. Reminder to be patient. The Shaykh once went to visit a sick person who was crying due to their illness. This pain upon which you cry, who gave it to you? And to whom do you wish to complain about it? Hearing these wise words, the sick person fell silent. Number 5. When the devil was silenced. Shaykh Junaid al-Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions, I once wondered what the devil looks like. I was then sitting by the door of the masjid when I saw an old man approaching from afar. Seeing him made me anxious. When he came close, I asked who he was. I am the one you wish to see, he replied. I understood it was the devil. So I sternly said, O wretched one, what prevented you from prostrating to Prophet Adam alayhi salam? O Junaid, do you wish that I had prostrated to other than Allah? He responded. I was taken aback at this response, but I then received ilham. Words were placed in his heart, which informed me, O Junaid, say to him, كَذَبْتَ لَوْ كُنْتَ عَبْدًا مَامُورًا مَا خَرَجْتَ عَنْ عَمْرِهِ. You are lying. If you were a true slave of Allah, you would not have disobeyed him. The devil recognized this matter in the Shaykh's heart and ran away. Number 6. A non-Muslim accepts Islam. Shaykh Junaid al-Baghdadi saw an extremely handsome young non-Muslim in Bab al-Talq. He then asked from Allah, "O Allah, you have granted this young man immense beauty. I now ask, allow him to recognize you." A short time had just passed after this dua when the young man came to him and expressed that he wanted to accept Islam. The Shaykh had him recite the Shahada, and after a few days in his company, the new Muslim attained the station of sainthood. Will I forget the testimony of faith at this time? Abu Muhammad al-Jureyri rahmatullahi alayhi said, "I visited Junaid al-Baghdadi just before he passed away. It was a Friday and I found him reciting the Quran. When he finished, I said, 'You are reciting the Quran even now. Who is more rightful to reciting the Quran than I? Do you not see my book of deeds is about to close?' He responded. Someone encouraged him to recite the Shahada, to which he replied, 'This Shahada you are reminding me of, I have not forgotten this my entire life. So why would I forget it now?' Starting recitation of the Quran again after completing it. Abu Bakr al-Attawi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions, "I was with Junaid al-Baghdadi as he passed away. He recited the entire Quran, began reciting again from Al-Baqarah, and eventually passed away after reciting 70 verses. Salah even in his final moments." His final moments in this world were also described by Abu Bakr al-Attar rahmatullahi alayh. "Along with some friends, I was in the presence of Imam Junaid al-Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayh before he passed away. He was offering salah while seated, and when he intended to prostrate, he would put his legs together. Bassami, a friend of the Shaykh, noticed the latter's feet were swollen. 'Abu al-Qasim, what is this?' asked Bassami. 'These are the favors of Allah. Allahu Akbar,' the Shaykh responded. Once the latter had finished salah, Al-Jureyri suggested, 'You should lie down.' 'Abu Muhammad,' the Shaykh said, 'this is a time of reward.' 'Allahu Akbar,' he replied. He remained in this state until he left this world." Fortunate Murid. The renowned scholar, reputable Imam and distinguished Gnostic, Shaykh Junaid al-Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayh, passed away in 298 AH on a Friday and was buried the next day. Around 60,000 people took part in his funeral prayer. People continued to flock to his resting place daily for a month, or even more than that. He was blessed to remain in the company of his spiritual mentor in this life as well as after his passing. His resting place is adjoined to that of Shaykh Sari al-Saqati rahmatullahi alayh, forgiven because of tahajjud. After the Shaykh passed away, someone saw him in a dream and asked, 'O Abu al-Qasim, what happened to you after you left the world?' He replied, 'I benefited from the short units of salah offered late at night.' Morning invocations. In another narration, the Shaykh appeared in a person's dream and said, 'My explanations and writings did not benefit me, but my recital of morning invocations did.' 6 quotes from Imam Junaid al-Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayh. Number 1. Whoever desires for his religion to be saved and for his heart and body to find comfort, he should not meet people For this is an age of barbarity. The wise one is he who adopts solitude in this time. Enduring the hardship of seclusion is easier than showing flattery to people. Number two, when Allah intends good for an aspirant of the spiritual path, He makes them meet with Sufis. Number three, I have not seen anybody honor this world and then live a comfortable life. Comfort only reaches those who deem the world insignificant and turn away from it. Number four, he who opens a door of good intentions upon himself, Allah opens 70 doors of ability for him. He who opens a door of evil intentions upon himself, Allah opens 70 doors of disgrace for him from places he cannot imagine. Number five, sickness and hardship contain four specialities: purification, erasing, reminding, and restraining. They purify one from major sins, erase minor transgressions, remind one of Allah, and restrain one from committing further sin. Number six, there are two calamities in the world: knowledge and wealth. Avoid knowledge's calamity by acting upon it, and avoid wealth's calamity by not caring for it. To read more statements from the Shaykh, read Maktabatul Madina's booklet, Sayings of Junaid Baghdadi. It can be downloaded free of charge from www.dawateislami.net. Read it yourself and forward it to others to gain reward. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.